hook into the internet and listening to us from Italy to Japan and from Baltimore to New Jersey. We are grateful that you are listening, those in San Diego, those also in their homes, because maybe they cannot be here. We welcome you to the evening worship service of Bethel Baptist Church, an informal service where we put our head in the Bible again, and this night is on Revelation 17. We are getting close to the glorious day of Christ's kingdom and Christ's victory. We start our evening service with our classic song, 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. 255, please, in our hymn books. Raquel, my wife, is on the piano, and we're ready to go. Come to you again in the name of Jesus, our Lord, the wonderful Savior and High Priest and Prophet and Atonement that we have for ourselves. And then, Father, as we gather together at the end of the day, a long day, some of our people have been here from 9 o'clock in the morning and with the classes in the afternoon, and spending the day in the house of the Lord. How beautiful it is. And some of us have spent time in fellowship at lunch and different homes, and we are glad, Lord, to be here, closing the day with the study of one of the most great books of the Bible, the book of Revelations, who grant to us the right to believe the victory is coming. So thank you, Father, and bless us in our heart. Bless those who are listening via internet tonight, and may they rejoice with us. And the fact that Jesus is everything to our life. And Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. All right, we let you choose tonight your son, all right? And you maybe have a favorite song that you want to sing one or two stanzas of that song. You want one song? No, I thought that you did like this. 206, we talk about the amazing grace of Jesus. 206 is right here in our hymn book. Some of our friends over the internet have purchased the hymn books, and they tell me they sing at home. They have groups of people meeting together in their home and singing together with us, and certainly we are glad that you do so. Number 206, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Take me the way my burden.
this word, praise his name. And now as I hear Shelley, we used to have a lady by the name, I think it's Mrs. Moore, if I remember. She's about in the middle. She moves to middle California by Fresno. But she got a tone of music, you know, high. And always when she sings like that, I move it because I don't know if the beam will come down or not. But it was very precious. I don't know how many of you remember Mrs. Moore and the two daughters and so on. She have a daughter who has mental difficulties, the doctor said, but she was a great believer and helped me in the church as a secretary at the beginning of our church. When we have the office in the Cassandra's building in Gilroy, we had there the church office, and she came over there and helped with all the paperwork. And she was very effective with the Lord. When they come to life, she was a little, but when she came to the things of the Lord, she was very effective, and I thank the Lord for the years she has spent helping me. All right, number 206. Joy in our heart. What privilege we have that we can praise the name of the Lord Jesus from every nation, from every race, from every corner of the earth. Praise God. All right. What will be our next song? Brother Plika, you tell me. All right.
73.
73. All right. I know Brother Plika always have one. I mean, he's seen alone in his home, you know. When his wife is not there, then he's seen. All right. May Jesus Christ be praised. All right. Number 73, first and second. Presbyterian church said, are you still preaching about that Jesus? She said, I don't know why she goes to church, but she is the chief editor of the Morning Hill Times. And said, why do you people mention Jesus? The chief editor of the Morning Hill Times said, why do we preach about Jesus? I said, well, if we don't have Jesus, we close the church and go to play golf. You know, the church about Jesus. Oh, no. It's just amazing how the devil have penetrated America. You know, about 100 years ago, it started slowly. And that's the same thing in your home or in your life. If you let the level 1 foot, that's it. Takes over. So, and it's very sneaky. So thank God that we love Jesus. Thanks to number 2 in 73. is your hymn book?
Number one.
You're an intelligent man. That's my favorite. All right. Number one. Oh, worship the King. That's wonderful. All right. You like that, Andrew? Eh? Number one? That was yours, and your daddy took it, eh? I know. Another one. Yes, Mary. 450. All right. Here it is. If it isn't the love of Jesus, something wonderful. Is that our brother Vitola? Yeah, he will, from heaven, our brother will say thank you, all right? He loves that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." I remember our brother who used to, Brother Blicka took his place. He was our Bible reader. The Lord took him. And amazing, he was a man of spirit. And he loves this wonderful song, "It Is Well With My Soul." I hope we all can say that. It is well with my soul.
Oh,
from my heart. All right? Another song. Tricia.
381.
All right. And we have to announce that Shelly did the audition in the university in Long Beach. Is that right, Shelly?
Fullerton.
That's very good. And it looks like everything is okay. Now you have to wait to receive the invitation. All right. And God's willing, rather than going to Texas, maybe you're going to right here in the state of California. Okay, praise the Lord. We pray in that direction, all right? Okay, that's first prayer. Second prayer will be, where the money come from? Don't worry about it. We have a big God. Anything you need, you just ask Pastor Thompson. All right. 381. Extra time to go through. Yes. Shelly is your name?
Cheryl.
All right. Say it again.
308.
308. And I get the other one over there. 308. All right.
Thank you.
Bernie, tell me.
126.
126. We close this evening with this one, 126. Rock of Ages. We have enjoyed almost half hour of praising the name of our God. I hope you have the outline. Otherwise, there is outlines in the back. And if you want outlines from the very beginning, I have one set here in case somebody needs it. Now, I always start the study of the book of Revelation where Revelation starts. That's Revelation chapter 1. In verse 1, and these to make easy your mind for the study tonight. All right, there are two texts of the Bible that I love to read before go into the paragraph that is for our evening. Thank you, my good friend Andrew. You are very good. All right, now Revelation 1 and verse 1 said these words. I want you to look in the Bible and see what the word said. They said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, I always said, and it's important to make this remark, the Bible doesn't say the mystery of Jesus Christ, but rather the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the book of Revelation is not a mystery. Now, some people have taught as a mystery, but if you work and simplify your thinking and believe what you read, it is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, also, the best study of Revelation is in Isaiah chapter 28. So I'm going to look at my Bible for Isaiah 28. In that great verse 10, and the Bible really put together a simple formula in how to study not only Revelation, but every book of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. You can, with this verse, this is the key to the understanding of every paragraph of the Bible. This is what God says. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And so next month will be 1 year that I started the book of Revelation in the evening service. This assures me that rather than going fast and flying over certain thoughts, we have taken line upon line and precept upon precept. And that's very important that we analyze that in that way. Now let's go back to Revelation. And tonight we start Revelation chapter 17. Last Sunday we did in one study of Revelation 16, but this Sunday we will have to stop in verse 6 as we look upon these wonderful chapter. Chapter 16 finishes up all the details of the seven final bowls of wrath of God. And remember the key verse in chapter 16? God said, "It is done." In other words, when the wrath of God is expressed upon this world, the believers will be free from the world, and God finish with the world. And Jesus at the cross said, "It is finished." And now God in Revelation 16 said, "It is done." So if at the cross God release us from our sins, it is finished. Then in Revelation 16, God released the church from any struggles of this world and be on heaven. Now God is so kind that is going to offer to us certain details of that last moment of the world and certain things that could happen at the end of time. And starting in Revelation 17, God is talking about the false religion at the end of time. That's the whole chapter. The false religion at the end of time. And it's going to be something to study and to look upon this. Now, the background to the chapter, you know, how do we get into the chapter, is in verse 1 and in verse 3. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials or bowls, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgments of the great whore, or harlot, that sitteth upon many waters." And look again in verse 3. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness." Kind of Matthew 4 when Jesus was carried away into the wilderness for further revelation. So the angels approaches John for a detailed revelation. Verse 1 and verse 3 tell us that John saw the great vision, the world and the work of God. The world is gone, and God said, "There is nothing more I can do in this world. It is done." And then now the angel very kindly come to John and said, "John, come here. We're going to show you things that you don't know yet." And that's fantastic. So the revelation is about the false religion at the end of time. You put one hand in Revelation 17 and go with me to Matthew's in chapter 24. Jesus briefly touched about the subject. One of the remarks of the end of times will be a false religion. In Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5 said, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." In other words, don't be fooled by anybody. Verse 5 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many." If somebody comes to you and say, "I have the only truth," then we put a big question mark on that statement. We maybe have to say, "What do you mean you have the truth?" and so on. But there will be people, and as you will see in Revelation 17, these will go into the government status, and from the government on, they will say, "This is the only way to reach God." And so we have to really watch out. Jesus said briefly, and now Revelation 17 will explain it. Also, John is in a shock at what he saw in the vision of the wrath. If you look in Revelation chapter 17 and in verse 16, and the Bible says, "And the ten horn which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." You know, he's getting a picture of the drama, the seriousness of the wrath of God. How serious is this business? It's not just the issue you burn in hell, the issue of the end times when really God is not giving a break to the world, but unfold his wrath. So the angel pick up John and will show the church at the end of time, the so-called church at the end of times, the people that they think they go to church. So we're going to have about six verses to look tonight and see the so-called church of the end times. So you can keep it in your mind and compare. All right. Here it is. Number one, false religion will be popular at the end of times. Verse 1 talks about the great whore or the great harlot. That is the false religion. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. The great whore, the great harlot. And if you put one hand here and go with me to Ezekiel in chapter 16, and verse 28, perhaps we have a clarification of what this verse is really saying. Look at what God is saying to Israel. Ezekiel 16 and verse 28. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians because thou was unsavable because thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied. And so the false religion will try to become majestic and big and never satisfied. A church that is never satisfied is a church that is in the steps of a false gospel. We are satisfied in Christ. We improve all the time. We look for better ways to move the gospel away. We just approved on the board to broadcast the 3 o'clock class with questions and answers to pick up some people who perhaps have questions and answers. But when you are never satisfied with what God has done for you, that's a question mark. And so Revelation chapter 17 verse 1 said the great whore that seated upon the waters. Now if you know this, Revelation 17 1 said the great whore, the great false religion is never satisfied, also seated on waters. In verse 15 of the same chapter, the Bible said, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sowest, where the whore seated, are peoples and multitude and nations and tongues. So it is an indication that this false religion will fill the earth. Doesn't surprise me when false gospels go around the earth, because that's the sign of the end times. We will not be ministering against them. We always have a positive ministry. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But these false gospels who assume they are of Christ, they will expand and expand. And verse 15 clarify this. There will be multitude and nations and tongues everywhere in every language, and they will try to overcome the entire earth. So there is a warning here for us. And if you go to Timothy, 1 Timothy, you find this warning in 1 Timothy 4, which is a familiar text, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, here is a warning. Now the Spirit speak expressly that in the later days, let me get this here, times, in the later times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing a spirit and doctrines of the devils. See, we ask you, when you become a member of this church, we ask you, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The whole board of deacons is witness as the chairman answered the question. Will you answer to this question? We say, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ only for your salvation? And you can say yes and fool all of us. But listen, you cannot fool God. And at a given time, because the preaching is strong on the word of God, you would not like it. It's going to hurt your spirit. So people will depart. And that's what's going to happen. People will depart. And this is not the great tribulation yet. This is the beginning of sorrows. This is how people will be. They will go to a church that is more popular. They will go to a church that doesn't hurt when the pastor preaches. The pastor doesn't make the emphasis so strongly in the Word of God and the uniqueness of Christ and the uniqueness of Christ's work and the uniqueness of Christ's person. The person will move on to another place, and these other place who base their ministry on emotions. There's nothing wrong to have music. Nothing wrong at all. Actually, music enhances the praise of God. But when you have junk music on the church, appeals to the emotions and not to the sentiments of the heart. This hymn book of ours, this hymn book of the Baptist Church, these hymns have been written by the blood of those people. They went through the experience they wrote here. This is not junk music. These people suffer. These people went through life. And then they tell us the greatness of God and this expression of music. You got the new music and everything is to feel good. But if you have a few years like me, you know that life is not all the time to feel good. There are moments you feel good, but most of the time it's tough. And so what do? You have a Christ in you. So this false religion is going to alleviate the situation. It is going to offer a remedy, a theater style environment where you can enjoy that and never feel guilty of anything. All right? That's one aspect of the false religion. Second, in verse 2, false religion has a trademark. Verse 2. With whom the kings, I'm reading Revelation 17, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Look at the beginning. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That means the state endorses that religion. A state endorses religion. I was born in a country with a state endorsed religion. You have to, this is the official religion of the state. In my country was the Roman Catholic Church. In China, will be Buddha. In India, the Hinduism and so on. This is the official religion. And a false religion will seek to endorse themselves with the government. That's what the verse 2 said. The earth have committed fornication, intimate relationship with the state. And you know, in the year 329, Constantine saw that the church of Syria and the church of Greece, they were looking for being number one. And Constantinople, being in the middle in Europe, of the passing, was a magnificent place to have an state religion. And he called all the pastors around and asked questions. And if you study church history, the questions he asked the pastors were not able to answer. In Syria, which today is a hell in the sense of being believers, they were strong. But Constantine thought, if I get Rome and Greece on my side, I get the European continent with me, and I stay as a king. And therefore, he signed a decree that everyone in his kingdom is a Christian. And from that moment on, the Roman Catholic Church became stronger and stronger until the year 449, where the first pope established. And so here is what it is. The trademark of a false religion seeks for government approval and endorsement. Our church can get a lot of money, different areas of aspects. Our benevolence can be financed by the state. A lot of things can be financed by a state if we want to. But you know what? I don't want a penny from the state. I don't want to have any part of the state. Because, see, once somebody invest money on you, that person has a piece of your mind. Is that right? That's business in America. And so if you get money from benevolence, they will tell you to whom to make benevolence and so on. If you get money for certain areas, they will tell you what to say very soon. And so that's the style of a false religion. Very sneaky, very innocent. They start very kindly. Say, well, we'd like to endorse you. Each time I speak with the mayor or somebody here in the city, I tell them, I would like you to have here in our church. I don't want any endorsement from the city hall. I want you to have come here and listen to the word of God. My friend, the warning is very important. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Here is the warning for the church. It's very, very important that we take heed of these warning. I think rather the 1 Corinthians 6 is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. And verse 18. Wherefore, says the scripture, come out from among them. 2 Corinthians and chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters with the Lord Almighty. The Baptist principle is that we are a separate church, autonomous government, where the church makes the decision itself and has nothing to do with the state. We respect the state. We respect the authorities. We under the authorities of the state in every permit and every detail they require from us. But we cannot embrace them and marry them because the Bible says separate from them. That's very important. And the late church will seek endorsement from the church. That's the trademark. When somebody tells me, my country has this state religion, I know it's a false religion. I was feeling sorry for the British. They told me that this is our state religion. And their state religion has a pope, the queen. And it's false. And I went to church in England. And sit down. They thought that by my accent I was from Scotia. I guess they don't understand the Scottish people. So I have a great time in England in the church. And they're far away from the scripture. In the morning service were few people they hear in the evening service. People have nothing to do with the church. But the state church, they have those cathedrals and those majestic buildings where everybody goes and they don't know what's going on. See, that's the one trademark of the false church. Number three, the false religion is supported by the Antichrist himself. Look at verse 3. So he carried me away, John is speaking in Revelation 17 and in verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet collar beast. Beast, you know, as we study, representing the Antichrist. And notice the word seated. You see in verse 3, seated. It means that the false religion is supported and dependent unto the state. The scarlet collar beast will be the Antichrist, the state itself. Now remember, false religion imitate Christ. They are never against Christ. We know that right away. If somebody is against Christ, we just rings the bell. But if somebody is very close, you get the Mormons in your home and they're talking about Christ so beautiful. Until you ask them, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? And then you get the idea of what they think. All right? One time I met they call it elders in Radio Shack here, the elders of the Mormon church. And somebody told him there, that I'm the pastor of Bethel. So somebody, he said, my brother, he said to me so kindly. I said, oh, I'm sorry, my name is Otero. I said, what is your name is Otero? He said, no, I mean my brother in the spirit. And I look at it, and I said, you know, I think we have different spirit. Why? He said, because you have a Jesus that I don't have, and I have a Jesus you don't have. And boy, that was the end of the conversation, you know. You have to be alert. They don't come to you with a, no, they don't attack you. They smooth in your life. And young people, listen, be careful, like Paul said, and throw away those things who are not. And so verse 3 said, the false religion seated, take power in the state, they dress Jesus, the red color of Jesus is the sacrifice of the cross. That is the trademark of Christianity, the red blood of our Savior. And they dress in that way. And the seven head and the ten horn identify the Antichrist. This is the power of the Antichrist dominating the political world and the arena. Now, what is the council? Just a little on the left, on the book of James, in chapter 4, and in verse 4, we have a good counsel for that kind of attack. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now that's a great counsel. A religion, they have an intimate friendship with the state and with the world, is obviously not a true religion. It's part of that false religion, those details that God said. Number four, the false religion at the end times will be wealthy. Look in verse 4. Let's go to Revelation 17 again. And in verse 4, there are certain signs that the church will be wealthy. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and a scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations of filthiness and of her fornication. The outside, verse 4 is telling me this, outside that church have wealth, prestige. I tell you, it's not one time, but many times, the people I have invited, I take coffee in the coffee shop, I talk and I share the Bible with the people and so on. And they say, what is your church? I say, you see it, the Three Crosses. That's what this neighborhood here called our church, the Three Crosses Church. Oh, I see. Well, that tiny little place. Yeah, that tiny little place. And I even brought somebody here. So, well, don't be afraid to go into church. Come with me in my car. Some of these people have been trained by Roman Catholicism, especially Italians and Portuguese, that they are afraid to go into another place because they told them that that is of Satan. And so I said, listen, they came in the parking lot and the man was shaken. I can't believe it. A big, big guy who works on the farm, shaking because he was across the church. And I opened the door in the back and he squeezed his head like this inside. He would not come with his body. He squeezed his head and look on it. He said, oh, it's not like a church. What do you mean? He said, oh, your glasses, you see, you don't have the stained glasses and you don't have ornaments and so on. We go to a church. And I said, that must cost a lot of money. Like, oh yeah, our church is wealthy. The false church is the outward appearance is wealthy. Now look in the Bible, the inward appearance of that church. What verse 4 says? It says, having, at the end of the verse 4, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. The false church is inwardly corrupt. From outside, oh yeah, you can see it. It's fantastic. Now I tell you, I have a good experience in England. We went outside London, going into the countryside, and here is a majestic church. The great men of God have preached there. And so I went into the church, and one lady, it was a cemetery, typical of 400 years ago. There is a cemetery, and there is a church, and there is a saint, and I saw the dates, 14, so forth, 13, and I stood and I prayed for those saints. They brought the gospel to my country, the British people. And the lady invited me, oh, so we have a dinner and so on. And so in the church, almost without light inside, beautiful building, those rocks that were magnificent and so on. And I said, what do you do here in the church? She said, this is what we do. We do dinners. And I saw a sign who said, public Lord's Supper. Public Lord's Supper. What that mean? Oh, it means we're going to have a dinner and then we serve the Lord's Supper. It's not what 1 Corinthians 10 says you should not do and mess around with the Lord's Supper. It's not after a big party. The Lord's Supper should be done with respect and with order. And you know, I said, why you do that? You say, oh, we do that because nobody comes to church. And so if we do a big party, everybody come, and then we give them Christ. I was shocked. This was a strong Presbyterian church. And I went to a Methodist church, the same thing. And so the outside is majestic. And they would show me this city, and in the city, there was the city hall, the church, and the labor department. That was a trademark of every city in the countryside. And I went into the church, it was empty. And in the church, the outside was magnificent. Inside, the pastor don't know what to say. I tell you, this is the trademark. We are not yet in the Great Tribulation, but I tell you, more I look into the world, more I see in the newspaper, more I listen to our Congress, we are walking toward that direction. Number five, the false religion will have a striking name. Look at verse 5, the name of the false church. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's the name that God gave to the false church. The name is a mystery because what they teach is not knowing. I ask the people, what do you teach here? They don't know. I ask the people in the coffee shop, what do your church teach? We don't know. I met the general manager of Nob Hill. We met him in Puerto Vallarta, and we became good friends. And he goes to the Catholic church in Gilroy. And I put my hands the other day, I had to get the chicken or something, put my hands on him, say, hey, how are you? Let's go to vacation again. And I said, tell me, you go to Bible study in your church? Yes. What do you study? I don't know. We study the Bible. Well, you should know what you study. He said, well, no, I don't know. The priest come and the deacon and they read from something and we spend the hour and so on. They don't know. They don't know what they study. And that's why the name of the church is Mystery. The false church is a great name for the false church. It's Mystery. They don't know what they believe. If somebody asks you, what do you believe? And you cannot answer that. I wonder, I put a question mark in your salvation. Because a believer knows what you believe, alright? You maybe don't know all the details of the Bible, but you know that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and when you believe in Him, you now have everlasting life. That's basic. And because you believe in Him, you have been baptized under water, symbolizing I'm dead with Christ, and I'm resurrected with Christ. That's very simple. That's the first step in believing. But you ask these people what they believe. They don't know. So they have a striking name, Mystery. And she will be the head of the denomination, false religion. Look at this. Babylon, the great mother of the harlots. She will be like headquarters. When the Bible says the mother, in Greek, is the head of an institution is a mother. So here is the head of the institution. There will be someplace and someplace in the world, and there will be a head of the false religion that controls everyone. I think the warning is very obvious for me. It's in Revelation, which you know by heart. It's in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. Here is the warning. All right. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That means not through the church, through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. And that's very clear. And anybody who teaches you something else is a false religion. False religion. I got calls from, newspapers here in Mercury. And say, what your church do to unite the peoples of the world religion? That was a good question. I said, well, we teach the gospel. And what is the gospel? The reporter is saying. I know he knows, but he wants me to spell it. I said, the gospel is the Jesus, you know, spelling in 1 Corinthians 1, 15, excuse me. Jesus died for our sin and he rose again. And whatever believes in him. He said, well, but that will divide people because you said Jesus. I said, I ask you, what do you do to unite people? I said, well, there is no other uniter. There is no other guy that can unite everybody unless we are in Christ. He said, well, are you saying that President Bush then is wrong? If he doesn't understand Christ, he's wrong. I said, the Americans will not unite the Iraqis. America should send hundreds of missionaries to Iraq. Then I have hope. He said, oh, you are narrow-minded. We cannot publish this. Well, that's good. I said, I don't want you to publish. Isn't that right? I got the Channel 11 right by my house. Talking to, the editor of the newspaper is my neighbor. And I see Channel 11. My wife said, what are you doing? They're focusing in my house. So I get out. I'm looking into the mailbox and putting my ear all I can to those. The bus was over there. The broadcaster came in and said, hi, my name is Edward. He said, how are you, Edward? I'll watch you in the night. He said, can we have some words with you about the lake? Oh, yeah, come in. And so they came down. And we put the camera over there and stand by. He said, will you like the lake? Yes. Will you like the lake full? Yes. Why? I said, because when I sit in these steps and I see the greenery across the lake and I see the lake, there is peace in my heart, the joy of Christ. Well, thank you very much. And they left. See, he said, that's what the lake does for you. Yeah, they just... apart from another scientific position that the water ameliorate one third of the impact of the earth at 300 feet for the storm. I said, oh, I speak about that. So I explained how the naps of the earth work and how the impact of water absorbed, why the houses do not have cracks and so on because of the water in and so on. Then that is important to them. When I tell them, they have peace by looking to the lake and relax. I said, very soon you will see a wild turkey coming in. And then you will see a boy who like to marry that wild turkey and is coming in all excited. And they say, I can see nature and the design of God in every step of these steps. And that was not important. But when I talk about some stupid physics conditions, they thought it was important. You see, the false religion has a striking name. The name is a mystery, and they are the headquarters of the world, and they will try to direct people away from the Lord Jesus. It's a harlot. Marry the world. Then number six, false religion at the end times will be launching a holocaust on God's people. Look at verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyr of Jesus. So the blood of the saints. You know, Romans 1:7 said that we are saints in the Lord. Remember? Saints are no things hanging on the wall. Saints are you and I. When you and I, hagayon is in the Greek language. When you and I have been secured by Christ, now you are separated for him. You're a saint in his eyes. You don't need the board of directors to see if you are qualified to be a saint or not. God saw Jesus in you, and now you're a saint. And so the blood of the saints will be there. They will try to kill as many as possible. Verse 6 talks about martyrs and with the blood of the martyrs. It's amazing. I taught my college class that the key verse on the book of Acts is 1:8. In the whole book of Acts, it talks about witnessing. You know what the word witnessing is? It's martureos. What word in English we get from that? Martyr. Sometimes your family will be against you because you believe in the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people come to me and say, I'm the only believer in the family. Boy, you have a cross within yourself. You are a martyr in the eyes of God. And that's what the church will do. And what is the warning? Here is, in John chapter 15, is the wonderful warning with respect to this massive attack of the enemy. John chapter 15, verse 20 and verse 21. Look at what the Bible says. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Not only the people, I thought, not only the people of this world, they do not know Jesus. Also, they do not know God. My good friend who gets $1.25 a day from me for my coffee, That's where the money goes, darling. Okay. Now, here's what he said to me. It's called Cambodia. You know, Cambodians speak French. And so I said, tell me, who is the God of Cambodia? He said, we don't know. I guess we like America. And what is the God of America? You know what he said? Money. Every Cambodian will come here because of money. And he said to me, openly, I started making donuts for hotels. I started in the old Nob Hill, remember, in the middle of the town, and the town grew and moved here. And now he makes $100,000 a month in his business. By 8 o'clock, he already picked up over $50,000 in the donuts he spread all over the hotels in San Jose, everywhere. He's very good at making donuts. He starts up at least 3:30 in the morning until 5 when he goes with his truck to build it. But he said, I do this to make money. Because that's this country. I said to him, I think so. That's not the country that I knew when I was a little boy through the missionaries. I knew a country who was respectful, who was godly, who was in the fear of God through the eyes of the missionaries in my country. But I guess things changed. I came in 65 and things changed a lot. We are in a different country altogether where the ambition is this world. Well, that's a false religion. Young people, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. That is the success of your life. Whether you're an engineer, a medical doctor, a garbage collector, that doesn't make any difference. What makes the difference is who you are inside. It's not how you adorn yourself outside, it's who you are inside. Get the peace of God and get God into your heart through the scripture. So the false religion is very sneaky. That's what I learned from this. I said to myself, well, after I study and open this up, what do I learn? I learned the false religion is very sneaky. It's coming very smooth and want to move you a little bit here and a little bit here, a little bit here. They will come to our choir director in this way. Well, get this other music here a little more lively. Get this other music here. It's not wrong for here. And here and here and here. And little by little, you are way up here with the music of the church, praising God. So we need to pray that we, the people of God, will focus on Christ and in Christ alone. Somebody told me, you're very old. That's true. I'm 70. I'm very old. But so what? I have kept my faith. That's the glory. Not my age. I tell you something. May God protect our local church, our tiny local church. As I have been invited to pastor big, large churches, I feel sorry for those pastors. How do you control a church with large and keep that church right in the middle where God wants, where people want the popular church, and the popular church is the false church. The governmental church is the church that already went away. May God keep us holy. Holy. That's the word the church forgot. Holy before Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Because your word challenged us to be holy before your presence, before the presence of your people, before the presence of the people of the world. Oh, help us to be holy in our heart, that people may see the seriousness and the beauty of a heart who loves you. Bless us during this week. Give us a strength for the work to do. Give us wisdom for the decisions to make. And give us peace for our walk. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.